Okay, I will now officially open this meeting of the IFRS Advisory Council and welcome everybody to this meeting. We should record for the record that we have just had a private administration session where we welcomed new members, in particular Jean-Paul Gauzès from IFRAG, and noted a number of apologies. We also noted the very sad death of Wayne Upton. We congratulated Sue Lloyd on her appointment as Vice Chair, and we noted that a number of members of the Council will stand down after this meeting. As I also said in the administration session, I have taken it upon myself to deem the theme of this meeting to be better communication. This being aligned with the ISB theme of the future. In relation to our agenda today, we do have an agenda full of strategic issues and a lot to do with better communication. For the observers here, we do have a number of private sessions where we will advise when these are and respectfully ask that the observers leave at this point. In addition, we have three breakout sessions for this meeting. In the past, we've generally had two, so three sessions where an opportunity for us to work in smaller groups to provide the feedback and advice around alternative performance measures, Brexit, and performance measures to assist with the development of the 2017 strategic work plan. We also have members reporting, and Anne Simpson, who unfortunately is not yet here, her plane was delayed, will be talking to us about the Council of Institutional Investors, and I certainly see that as very timely given their proposed change in their policy in relation to international accounting standards. So I think I expect a good update from Anne on the SEC position, and we're looking forward to her presentation and some vigorous discussion. And of course, our technical and trustee updates, with particular emphasis today on other sessions in relation to, and I've written here, the almost-to-be insurance standard. It's been a long time in gestation, but it seems we are nearly there. When I was thinking about things since the last meeting that have happened, and to put this meeting into context, I think that from a technical perspective, the quarter, in terms of the conclusion of the agenda consultation, and my summary of that, whether Hans would agree or not, is that it is effectively endorsement and refinement as opposed to redefining, I think has been a key part of the quarter, and of course, as I've just mentioned, insurance. In terms of world affairs and things affecting standard setting, I think Brexit is probably the biggest potential one that we have got to in front of us today for us to consider, and I think it would be fair to say that the staff have put in a lot of thought into that and what the implications are on various fronts for the foundation and seeking the advice of the council in relation to that. I have to say the US elections, now only a week away, and whether or not as a result of what might happen there, there are potential implications for global accounting setting. I'm not sure. I think there could potentially be implications elsewhere on financial markets or whatever, depending the way that the result goes. Obviously, there's been a lot of progress on the strategic work plan, which will be shared in private session at this meeting. Also, the trustees met a few weeks ago in Delhi, and we'll hear from Michelle in relation to that later this afternoon. Hans, in public, as I've said before, has been talking about the theme of better communication. And so, again, thinking about that. Those are really the things that I've thought about that's happened over the last quarter. Goro or any other member of the council got things that they would like to add as things that they think have been defining, if you like, in the last quarter? Nope. In which case, I think that if there are no further comments from the introduction, I'd like to move straight on to our agenda and start with agenda item one, which is the Board and IFRS Foundation activities, and hand over to Hans to take us through those to start with.
Thank you, Joanna, and just thinking a little bit about your question, will the American elections have any effect on us? I don't think so. We will just continue with our efforts to make IFRS great again, whatever happens in the United States. But what is actually pretty remarkable is that when you look around the world and you see Brexit and you see what's going on in the United States and you see all these tendencies that are very critical of globalization, it is quite remarkable that in our little niche of accounting, we still continue to make progress towards a global standard. So let's be happy with that we are this island of tranquility in this very uncertain world. A very positive development in the last couple of months was that the European Parliament has lifted any obstacles for the endorsement of IFRS, which we are, of course, very happy with. There were some last-minute lobbying in the direction of the European Parliament, especially with regards to our decisions on classification and measurement. There were quite a few companies who were very critical of our decision to do away with available for sale for equity investments. And when you look further into it, then I'm really glad that we did make that decision. Anyway, the European Parliament has lifted any possible obstacles, has basically endorsed, and now the European Union can go on with the legal process of endorsement, and we're very happy with that and are also grateful for that. And we have been putting a lot of effort in this relationship, and at least we have I feel we have a much more fruitful discussion with our European counterparts now than we did a couple of years ago. The only remaining question in Europe is whether, with regards to IFRS 9, is the transition regime for insurance companies. Most of the insurance companies are very happy with what we have proposed, but there is still the question of is there anything that needs to be done further for conglomerates, companies that combine banking activities with insurance activities. We feel we have provided a very adequate transition regime with the overlay approach. Europe is still trying to make up its mind whether it wants to add something, an additional transition scheme, which would make it possible for insurance activities below the entity level to postpone IFRS 9. We'll have to see what happens. It's not sure. So that would be, if that happens, that would be a carve out. It would be temporary, and it would be regard probably just a few, not many companies. It would, of course, something. It's of course something we would rather not see. So we still hope that it will not happen, but that remains to be seen. But the main news is still that IFRS 9 as a whole is going to be endorsed. Talking about insurance, our work on IFRS 4 on the insurance standard is progressing well. As you know, the staff is finalizing the words. They do that in close consultation with the industry. We talk to about 17 main players in the world, from all over the world, to test the world, the words, do people understand what we are trying to write down? Do we get sufficient feeling, comfort, that they will be able to work with the standard? Our feeling is that this consultation is going well, that the drafting is going well. There is still a fair amount of uncertainty around what is the right level of aggregation. Some insurance companies already feel comfortable with the words as we have developed them thus far. Others feel that the words might lead them in the direction of working with many more portfolios than they are used to do so now. So this is still something that is being looked at, but I'm optimistic that we will find the right words for that as well. Now, obviously, this is a standard that is going to be a major transformation for the industry, much more so than IFRS 9 is for the banking industry, given the huge diversity that we see around the world at this moment. There is no insurance company whose accounting will be unchanged. So implementation support is going to be very important. And we are very glad that you're going to talk about that today and that you're going to provide us with advice as to how to do that. It's absolutely going to be important. How can we do that in the best way without without getting into a situation that the standard becomes a moving target, because, oh yes, this doesn't work very well, this doesn't work very well. We don't want the standard to be open to changes after we have published it. Next week we will publish the, or this week I believe, we will publish the feedback statement on the agenda consultation. We call it a feedback statement. Basically, it is our agenda for the future, for the next 5 years. Well, of course, the contours of that new agenda are known by now. We talk to everybody, including you. And I think it's fair to say that the focus on better communication and a more focused research agenda have been widely recognized around the world and have been well received. I would like to emphasize here also that this theme of better communication, obviously, you know, this with its focus on performance reporting, has been a long-standing wish of the investor community. Nevertheless, I also think it is of extreme importance for the preparer community. If you look at the type of CFOs that are currently leading companies or co-leading companies, and you compare that to CFOs 20 years ago, most CFOs tended to have, especially in Europe but also in other parts of the world, tended to have an accounting background. And over the years, that has been watered down. Many CFOs now have a broader business administration background and are not necessarily technical accountants. And that has created a bigger rift between the CFOs and the accounting. And it, I think it's one of the reasons why they tend to retreat into the world of non-GAAP measures, which are much more easy to understand often, and obviously they are also usually a bit better looking. But I think we have to recognize that for CFOs, that the accounting language is sometimes too difficult to understand. I think the better communication agenda, shaping some more format in the income statement, but also in the balance sheet, possibly, is a way to create a stronger link with the preparers. It's not going to be an easy task. We had a really good meeting with the world standard setters and IFES in this building just a month ago, and we had discussions about this issue, and it is very obvious that it's going to be extremely difficult to, for example, define what is operating income, or to define what is persistent income and what is non-recurrent income. To create discipline in that is going to be extremely difficult. So it will not be easy, but I think it will be very worthwhile, and it will be a very exciting thing to do. In the meantime, you may have noticed that our board meetings have become shorter, as the big projects have ended, or have seemingly ended, because there is still a lot of work going on in the background. For example, on insurance, we have a huge part of our staff working on insurance. So behind the scenes, a lot is going on. But given the fact that we now have a more focused research agenda, and we want to make sure that every standard first goes through a thorough research phase, there will be relatively less meetings of the board, because a lot more is taking place in the preparatory phase. Finally, I would just like to briefly mention that we had a truly excellent trustee meeting in India. Misha Pradhar will tell you more about it. It was for the board, the board members who were there, a very good occasion to talk intensively with the people from with the accounting community in India, the institute, and the body that the Indian IFREC, for example. And I must say, I was really struck by what seemed to be an increasing commitment to IFRS. India has adopted IFRS with about 7 or 8, depends on how you count, carve-outs. Many of them are very small, some are transitory, people in India really expressed a commitment that they, over time, they would like to phase as many as possible out. So there was really a genuine commitment there, I plan to visit India frequently in the next couple of years, and our implementation support staff will also spend a lot of time in India to help them where needed. It's very important that this big economy is a full part of the family. And I really got a sense that they are very well on their way. So this is what I had planned to tell you. I'm very happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions for Hans? I wondered, when I looked at this, whether there were any particular comments from the Advisory Council around the paper that we had in here around the engagement, the implementation activities, or the education initiative that Hans didn't specifically talk to, but are covered in his paper. No? Okay. We also have attached to this an appendix on the technical activities, and I believe that this is really for information and not intended for discussion. And Hugh, right in saying that you weren't intending to talk to that. So I think that now is the opportunity, if there are any specific questions on that technical appendix, so agenda paper 1A, if anyone does have any comments or questions on those that they would like to discuss in plenary session, or, of course, there is the opportunity to collar Hugh or any of the other technical staff at some of our breaks. No? Okay. Now we're going to move into, Yael is going to talk a little bit about foundation activities. And Yael, some of this in private session or all of it in private session?
We can do it in a private session if that's possible.
In which case, what I would like to do, please, for the observers to say that we are going to move into, and for the recording, we are going to move into a private session. So, in relation to these matters. Thank you.